Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on Monday evening, live here, of course, on Radio Kerry. And I hope you can stay with us through the evening for another busy show, I suppose, featuring mostly football, of course, and we have a bit of rugby as well after seven. And the first hour this evening, I'll be joined by John Kendy and Liam Broston. And I suppose they'll give us their insight into this weekend's Garvey's Super Value Senior County Championship quarterfinals, in which those eight teams became four, so there's only four left now from the 16 that started out. And of course, in the second hour this evening, we'll check in with Donal O'Leary and John King of the Kerry GAA Supporters Club. They're looking forward to their annual social next weekend, and I suppose we'll find out a little bit more about them as well, the Supporters Club, and maybe even give you a little information on how to get involved and all those travelling to the games and the whole lot. And of course, those games will begin, I suppose, fairly shortly. I suppose just after Christmas, we'll be all off to the league games again. And if you have a comment or a question for us, get in contact. You can phone us, Ivan's on the phone, 066 712 3666, or you can text us 083 300 3300. And Keane is back on sound again tonight, so that's fantastic to have him back as well. And well done to Niamh for filling in as well, fantastic work. Now let's get straight down to it. Liam and John, it was very easy seeing the crowd at the weekend anyway. Were you the only crowd at the matches?
We were one of a few.
Yeah. Liam, are you surprised before we start about, because a lot of comments have come in this evening, and funnily enough, not too many of them actually about the football. A few about riffing decisions, and we'll chat about that. But the crowds, the numbers, the easiness to get parking, all the things that you wouldn't associate with a quarter final, would you?
Yeah, and I suppose, look, it's, I know we're looking at a Kerry down here, but we were watching the Tipperary County final, and they had already 5,000 at a county final as well, you know, a hurling final, you know, which is, I suppose, it's across the country, Donal, it's not really down here. I do think we have a problem with the product. I think the product of football itself, the way the football has been played, people are kind of voting on their feet, and they're not, you know, they're not showing a massive interest in it. And you know, I think a lot of things will have to be looked at, you know, at a higher, not blaming the Kerry County Board or anything down here, but at a higher level.
It's
football
just a general.
At inter-county level and at club level, it's a hard watch. Yeah. You know, because look, the club manager wants to do what he's looking at the senior county championships, and he's looking at inter-county, and we seem to be all doing the same now. So I think there has to be a couple of tweaks and rules and stuff like that to turn it back into a game of football again.
Mm-hmm. John, go back maybe 6 or 7 weeks, we were in the club championships. Mm-hmm. And the club games were hosting games at home, and you had the neutral game, the whole lot. There seems to be a huge draw to the club games as such. The county championship seems to have lost that.
Yeah, definitely, Donal, it has, and I'd agree with Liam there totally. I mean, there was other clubs going to see some of the clubs playing in the club championship, and people coming from outside, from West Limerick and, you know, North Cork even. There's, like, we felt that when it came to the quarterfinals, the people would be back for the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen the weekend. And, you know, as you said, getting parking. You know, there's no atmosphere at the games.
Yeah.
It's just lacking atmosphere. Nothing to do with the players or the management teams or anything like that. They're preparing well for it. But like Liam said, it is the product. Like, it's a negative game now.
Yeah.
It's getting men back. It's stopping the opposition playing. And it's winning at all costs. But I think they're suffering. And it's not happening at the club level as much, because, you know, some of the clubs, they're going for it. They're playing direct football. And you can see the likes of the Fosses. Look, the Listowel Limits, the Ballymacs, the Renards and the Taberts, they're all in. Like, they've all come through, but they're playing direct football. And the crowds are following it. There's high scores. How good is the standard? People go to see games with scores.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever game it is. But, like, it's something that has to be looked at. And like Liam said, looking at some of the attendances around the country the weekend, it's a common denominator. People are not, they're not going to the games. Is the cost prohibitive? Is the year too long? You know, it all has to be looked at, and I think it's you know, it's disappointing. It's our premier competition, and it's disappointing. The crowds aren't there, and to be fair, some of the games, you know, it's very easy to analyse them. They're not good.
Yeah, don't say that, because there's an Orfield coming with four games. Sure, there were very good games, and there'll be loads of analysts going on, and we'll plenty to talk about. Before we move on, the cost of living, and obviously you're working out there in the community as well, and everybody hears it day and night, and the budget, and people are talking about, did I get extra €6 or €8 or €10? Diesel going through the roof, everything's getting more expensive and all that. It has to have some sort of impact on somebody deciding, am I going to travel 40 miles to a match? yesterday it was €15 to go in for the double header. 3-4 people. No, I'd imagine the vast majority of people who were there yesterday had their, I suppose, their cards and their pass cards and the whole lot to get through. But is Jay finally seeing this now happening to us as such?
You'd wonder, Donal, to be honest. But, and I suppose, look, like John said, we are coming off a very hectic inter-county season, inter-club, and you'll always have the genuine club fella, will always follow the club, and then you're coming into the county championship. Probably war from it, you know, as well as the pocket being hurted. So yeah, it would have a big cost in it. And I think, look, they'll probably have to look at maybe two double headers. I thought maybe that was a mistake the weekend. Probably the two games should have been Saturday and Sunday, you know, double headers. But look, it's like, yeah, it's people are voting with their feet. I don't think we can blame East Kerry for it. Everyone's saying that East Kerry are going to walk away from it and all this kind of stuff. But it's something that the GA will have to look at. But like I said, at higher level, we can be. I don't think the county board can. But I just think that we need to improve the rules of our game to make it back into football again, because we've gone to games. We went into county games this year and we were scratching our head coming out of them, you know, and you'll be saying, geez, do I have to go and watch that again? But it's a hard watch, and that's us, because we go and we have to analyse it. So you can imagine if you were the Armory supporter and you were saying, yeah, I might stay at home now and watch it on television. Streaming probably has a help, probably has a disadvantage as well for it.
It's all John Kennedy's fault.
Yeah, probably not helping. No, it's just as easy, you know, to pay your fee and watch it on television and sit down and sit into your car and go, which is a pity.
John, finally, before we move on about it, players, I mean, what impact does it have? Like, I remember playing games and it didn't matter whether it was Division 3 or 4, there was a crowd at it, and if you made a block there was a big roar, if you got a goal there was a big roar, and if it was a bit of Ferrari, everybody was involved in the whole lot. That atmosphere isn't there. Does that have an impact on players playing, or are players now so isolated from that world it doesn't have an impact?
I don't think it has much of an impact, but it has certainly have to have an impact on them. But I don't think it won't affect players, because their preparation, they're in that bubble, they play. But obviously, like, when they go out in the field and you see sparse attendances in a big venue like Killarney, Fitzgerald Stadium or Rossenstack Park, it's certainly, you know, you'll be looking around. And I think, Donald,
it's a challenge match.
It is. Okay. And I think if you look at it in the county league in the last number of years, like, which is a great competition in Kerry, the number of people going to the games is you're counting them in two hands, like, you know, and that's from Division 1 down. So it's something that, you know, I'm not sure what can be done. Is it there's the change of attitude with people? Do they just go into the county games? You have so much to spend. You look at double bills, it's a long day. If you're going to Fitzgerald Stadium or Rossenstack Park for a double bill, it's 5 or 6 hours from the time you leave home until you come back. It's a Sunday gone or a Saturday gone. Are people prepared to give that time? And then the product they're looking at.
And the chances are you have a son or a daughter who's playing a soccer match in the morning.
And that's the other thing, a lot of other sports on weekends and stuff like that as well.
Plenty on drawing. Well, let's start with the first game that we're looking at this evening. Rathmore and Spall, the old club, all East Kerry clash. I suppose in many ways, when the draw was done, one of these teams said, God, you know, we certainly have a chance of beating the other one. Rathmore, of course, with a better record over Spall. As it turned out, Liam, on the day, very much in charge.
It was, But, you know, it was probably the one game when the draw was made here that I kind of, you know, my ears pricked a small, because I thought it was going to be, it'd be close. But to be fair to Rathmore, I suppose, you know, they went out and they do what Rathmore usually do. You know, they were solid, they were tough. Even there when Spall bought them back to the 2 points towards the end, you know, they never panicked. They held onto the ball. Next thing, there was a couple of points. Mac Ryan and John Minan again, you know, kicked them to 4 points ahead. You know, so Spall would be disappointed. I thought, you know, if they went, I thought they could have went after it a bit more. It was probably the last 10 minutes when they really went after it, and it was just, I suppose, the loss of Paul Murphy is huge for Rathmore. The sending off, we all know about it. I suppose it'll be something that'll be sorted out in the next week or so as well. But but fair play to Rathmore. Look, they're intermediate champions after coming up to senior level, and they're in a senior county semi-final now, which is a massive feat for a club like Rathmore.
John, I suppose everybody said about Spall that if you could get at their kick out good and early, you'd put them under pressure, and Rathmore, particularly in the first 10 minutes of that game, they really went after the Spa kick out.
They did. They went after Donald. They had their home up there, and obviously a local derby again. They know each other inside out. And like Liam said there, Spa would have to play exceptionally well and play above themselves. And Rathmore always had that little bit in the tank. And, you know, they were led by Shane Ryan and John Minan, kicked 9 points between them. But what will be of concern to Dennis Minan will be Paul Murphy's injury, which looks like a calf injury, huge loss, and then the sending off. That's going to have a huge bearing in the semi-final.
Carl Ryan was excellent around the middle of the field.
The guys that have led them all the year, they're continuing to do that, and you know they're playing. They're very consistent, and it's hard looking on Spa, but they had a great run, but just came up that bit short. But maybe, like Liam said, when the game was there in the melting pot, it may be to go at it a little bit more and take it on. But you know, that's the way football is now.
Yeah.
You're conserving, you don't want to give too much away, you don't want to leak at the back, but you're doing that at a cost. And the team that has the lead, it's easy to keep a lead and hold possession, whereas when you have to work to get the points, it's difficult.
Mike Stamadon, of course, we mention him, Liam, all the time, a veteran of the game. His style of play, I mean, he's a 15, but he kind of has license to roam. He comes out, and I suppose he's kind of the quarterback playmaker in many senses. Rathmore didn't sit Alan Dineen behind the ball. They sent Alan Dineen down the field after him, and Alan Dineen got on
the pile of ball. Yeah. I thought Alan Dineen and Brian Friel were excellent for Rathmore in that kind of a role. Yeah, and Stam, look, is what we said here with the last couple of weeks. He has been kind of their quarterback. You know, he's been doing something like Paul Gainey's doing with Dingle at the moment. He goes in, he comes out, and he's hitting the passes. But yeah, overall, like I thought, John Minehan is another guy. You know, that's really standing out in this championship for Rathmore. You know.
4 points again from play the last day. Go back to Spa. I mean, look, it was a big game for them. It was a quarter final. I mean, they're senior for, I suppose, they're finding their way in the senior. They kind of had a comfortable enough club championship. I mean, they were in the semi final. Dingle, of course, gave them a bit of a beating. They missed an awful lot of scoreable chances, though, didn't they? I mean, like, when they go home and watch the video and they'll say, God, okay, we lost by 3 points. The game was over 12-6. We got a goal back out of the blue. They look back on the chances they missed.
They will, yeah, because when they got the goal, when Kieran Spillane got the goal, and next thing Cian Murphy got the point after, he said they're back in this. But they seem to sit back then again, you know. And like one fella said to me today, and you know, he made a good point. He said football is going to a stage now. We were better off coming in for the last 15 minutes because that's the best part of the game. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's when Spa actually went like I said, went that rap more. Whereas if they pushed on a bit more, but definitely I think they will regret the scoring chances.
Shane Ryan again, another massive.
You'll say about him, I suppose they'll be roaring at Jack to play him out the field again.
That's very evident. Look, John, I suppose we know him as the goalkeeper that he is. The other side of the coin is that, look, in the last number of championships for Rathmore, he's always been up the field, and a whole lot. It's hard to know, though, to be fair. Is he an inter-county out the field player, or is he just better than what's here that he's playing against? Because obviously, you know, it's another step at that level.
Yeah, he's done it at intermediate level. He's done it at senior level now in county championship, you know. And the next step is inter-county. Has he the pace for outfield in that game? The kicking and his footballing ability is no problem. But like, it's a different level. But you know, when people won't know until he's tried there, if he will be. But you'd have to say that he's one of the best kickers in the county. You know, from the ground and from the hands, and he's good hands. So, like, it's a
massive decision, really, because goalkeeper now is such a specialised position. This fella's an all-star goalkeeper,
Is it a decision that Jack O'Connor isn't even entertaining as a decision? Is it based on the fact, can he find another goalkeeper?
That's the big thing.
That's the big one. Yeah.
That's the big one. Yeah, because like, your goalkeeper now is nearly your main player on the field, because you're starting the game, and you know you have to. Cluxton got 100% this year in the All-Ireland final. That's what you're looking at, and I think Shane Ryan in the last 2 years has been an all-star. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, so he has been hitting them numbers, but I think it's going to be a that's the big decision, I think, that can we get another goalkeeper that can do what Shane Ryan has been in goals, then you can chance him out the field.
I personally don't think he will put him out the field.
I don't think so either.
I think he's matured to being the best goalkeeper in the country.
Yeah.
And that takes time. There was nights here and some of the listeners were saying, you know, he might have dropped a few balls, a few kickouts have gone astray, but it is a learning process. If you make a mistake in goals, there's nothing behind you.
No.
But Shane Ryan has developed into a top class keeper. His kickouts are excellent. He's an intimidating figure for a forward going through.
Yep.
He's a big man, and you know, he makes the goals very small.
And I think playing outfield with Ratmore helps his goalkeepers as well.
It
because the way the goalkeeper plays now, you have to be a kind of an outside player as well, and it kind of helps. But I think it'd be a massive decision to bring him out the field.
Another man you're building up for the last number of games, Dan O'Donoghue.
One of his biggest games to
a difficult hour.
But he was up against
your other buddies that you're all bringing to the
exactly
team,
the two Ryans as well, like in the middle of the field. He was up in quality there as well. Now Dan, he didn't throw in the towel. He battled away, but he was ploughing a kind of a lone furrow there for a while. And when you're up against the two Ryans, who were playing very good football, he was all going to be a tough evening for him.
Yeah, the Paul Murphy loss obviously is a massive worry for Ratmore, and maybe even down the line maybe as well, because Paul's having a fantastic season with the club, and particularly coming off the back of a great season for the county as well. Himself and Darragh Moynihan, people will be looking in and saying, county players, did they stand out? Will they have been happy with the games they've played so far?
I think they will overall. I think they will. You know, they're marked men, and for them to be impressing, obviously it's a huge thing, because like they're being double marked, and you know, they're being pinpointed. Both of them have done well, but Paul has been, look, even last year he's carrying on that form, and I thought he did really well with Kerry this year, because at the start of the year you'd question whether he'd be on the first 15, but he justified his selection. The injury, it sounds like, or what we think is a calf, which is a muscle injury. Is that the fatigue coming in, continuously playing at the level he's playing at? And does it ask about, you know, the welfare of our senior inter-county players?
Yeah.
There's no
he knew straight away. I mean, there was no kind of getting up off the field. Come here, I suppose, look, we have to look at a couple of young players as well. I thought Liam Spillane for Spa was absolutely outstanding. Liam and Fionn Hoolan as well. He had to pick up Evan Cronin, which wasn't
an easy ask.
But yeah. For two young fellas, they done fairly well.
They did well, yeah. And they're lively,
mm-hmm.
No. And I suppose youth brings that, and I think that's the way teams are kind of gone now. You know, there's fellas that can travel up and down the field. So yeah, they're two fellas that will, like I said earlier, how are we going to pick our team in the championship?
We've picked the whole East Kerry team picked, haven't you?
No, that won't be an easy team to pick this year. But look, with the likes of these fellas, will be poking their heads into being in the recognition.
They're in the discussion, and they're in the discussion based on a number of games that they've played, and they're younger names, and they're younger players, and they don't look out of depth. Finally, will Spa hurt over this defeat, the manner of the defeat, or just the fact they lost?
I think both. But I suppose, look, they have what's left of the O'Donoghue Cup, which is a big thing in East Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
They got to the final last year. There's no reason why they can't give that a good rattle this year again. Their season is not over yet. I think they need to win something to get him over the line, something like Dingle with the last couple of years. You know, Dingle, you know, went through a lot of hurt. They were losing games that they should have won. It's the opposite this year. They're winning games that they should, you know, that usually the old Dingle team will lose. And Spar, something like that, they're getting to positions where they can win games, but they're not getting over the line, and they're just missing that little bit of, I suppose, experience and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, if you were managing Spar now, you'll be saying, we'll give Dodo a new cup and see, can we win, get something under our belt that'll build for next year.
Yeah, and of course, in fairness to Spar, like, they're missing Mike Foley. I mean, he's injured,
a huge loss.
And of course, they're missing Liam Kearney, who's playing over New York. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, a couple of years ago, we were building him up as the next midfielder partner as well. So no club can go without that. Ratmore, of course, we'll talk about it. Loads of comments coming in about that coloured card at the very end. We'll discuss that after this break.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, keep your comments coming in, and there is absolutely a load of them, as I said. The rugby took the limelight over the last few weeks. Split season has its downside. Yes, well, that's quite a good comment. Dole, it's too expensive to go to matches. Yesterday was €15 to go into an LGFA Junior B final, 10 for a student, and OAP. Of course, there was the two finals in Mitchell's Ground yesterday. I think congratulations to Clonmack and my van winning that as well. Hi, Dole, it's no surprise the crowds are so small with the way Gaelic football is being played. Look at the rugby quarterfinals and the way they kept going for scores. That's Charles. Yeah, absolutely. There was far more excitement on them anyway. The type of football being played is brutal, except for the odd team. No atmosphere in Clarny. There should have been two double headers, and maybe the supporters would turn up. Only for the Cliffords and the Gaines, there wouldn't be anybody going to matches. I personally travel just to watch those players in action. That's Eddie Stack here in Tralee. Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the atmosphere thing is there's no atmosphere. People, you know, you kind of don't. You don't even clap for a score anymore, you know, the way things are going. Donal and Kerry J have made a big mistake by selling their coverage to streaming services. It surely has been the main reason for so few people at our games. Well, you can all see them now on Clubber. And then why was East Kerry and St Cairns not part of a double header with Rathmore and Spa? It would have made far more sense than bringing people into Tralee on a busy shopping day with so little parking available. And I think we mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. East Kerry can't play because East Kerry's home advantage is Fitzgerald Stadium. So obviously, even though I suppose to be fair to St Cairns, there's a few East Kerry fellas there as well as their Liam, they travel over. Now let's discuss that game, leads on to it nicely. East Kerry and St Cairns. John, you were at the game in the build up to it. We were giving St Cairns a bit of a tip here. We were saying, what we saw them, they played well in their group, they had tough games, they dug out good results, they played well, and then they got the wind in the first half, and you were saying, God, okay, maybe this is it. And Ollie scored a point after 7 seconds. Paul Walsh got a point after 30-odd seconds. It looked like it was going to be a fantastic game, but wasn't that way?
No, it just, like as we said, we thought that the Cairns would give him the test. Paul Welsh kicked a super point from the terrace side, and it looked, things looked good, but East Kerry, their squad, the players they have, first of all the 15 that started, but the lads they can bring in, and the team ethic that they have, and they work great for one another, and the unselfish player, they look up, they give the ball, their decision making is excellent. And then you have the two Cliffords, David got a wonder goal, a great pass on Darragh Roach, but most players in the country would tap it over the bar, but David is not the ordinary player, so he hit a rifle to the net. And the subs they brought on, Matt Rini, Imit O'Shea got 1-1 when he came on, Luke Crowley did well. They're the team to beat, obviously, but I think it's their composure. When Cairns ran at them, they had bodies back, they turned them over, and they punished above. And they're a very well coached team. They have some great individuals, and they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. That said, Cairns, I mean, they did get up the field quite regularly. They seem to go for goals an awful lot, or took goal chances. Does that happen when you're chasing a game? Whereas you would have said maybe, if they kept tagging over the scoreboard, they'd get up to 13 points, 14 points, 15 points. Or at that stage of the game as a player, John, are you seeing the scoreboard and you're 8 points down, 10 points down, you have a half chance of a goal, you want the big major?
You go for it. And they were unlucky that Brian Kelly brought off a few, there was a few dangerous balls going in that he dealt with very well. There was last gasp defending inside that saved them. They didn't get those scores they needed to get the
when
goals.
You're an underdog, you need
and
to be getting
exactly
scores,
when you need. And then the frustrating thing was then they didn't score above, mm-hmm. and East Kerry came up the field and kicked over the point or got the goal, and Donal O'Sullivan came into there, he got 3 great points. Darragh Roach was impressive. Paddy was back orchestrating stuff. Patrick Casey got a goal, Patrick Darcy got a goal, and then Emmett O'Shea comes on and gets 1-1. But the Cairns never give up, I'd have to say that. They're on the bench, the Horns there, Morris Hickey's wing back got 3 points, but I think up front they were snuffed out. The East Kerry defence didn't allow them those easy chances. They had to work really hard for the scores they got.
Interesting you mentioned defence, because some of the players, I suppose we mentioned all the big names, the marquee names, but can we talk about Kieran Murphy? Kilcoman. I mean, I thought him that he had a massive game.
He was an athlete,
but he, for a guy that was playing so well with Kilcommon, got injured before they played their knockout game against Milltown, to get himself back fit again. But there must be a lot of credit in the locker room with Gerry Sullivan, because he didn't put him on the bench, put him straight into the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. And he performed very, really, really well there.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Kieran for years has been a standout player for Kilcommon, and even for his career, mm-hmm. before Kilcommon went on and stuff like that. So, yeah, Kieran. But it just shows the strength and depth that East Kerry have, to know that you can have Matt Rini, who had played very well in the games leading up to it, that Kieran steps in there, and the same, Emmett O'Shea started on the bench. You know, and there seem to be guys that they don't mourn, or they just get on with it. Emmett came off the bench and he got his score. No, Kieran, Matt Rennie came on, unfortunately picked up an injury and had to go off again. But yeah, look, I think just East Kerry have the defence that can snuff out a lot of the good forwards in the other team. Yeah. Like Kieran's, they snuffed out Paul Welsh, really. You know, Adam Barry, they were the two. Actually, Paul Welsh was top scorer coming into the competition. And they knew they can target things like that. And then they have quality.
And again, a name of a player that we don't mention a whole lot, Derek Callaghan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was coming. I mean, he picked him up for the most part.
Exactly.
And then you throw Keane Lynch in on the other side, Glenn Flesk, an outstanding game as well. And these are fellas that we don't mention. And I mean, obviously, in front of them, you have Jack Sherwood, who's closing the door as well. So you have a massive experience, but they are bringing youth through as well.
They are, yeah. And if you look at even East Kerry down through the years at minor level and under 20 level, they've been very strong. And Gerry is not afraid to throw these fellas in. And I suppose when you have guys like that, you have the luxury of putting these fellas, because you know they're good footballers. And the one thing with East Kerry, they're like a club team.
That's right.
And I suppose being playing the college football and being playing up along all from minor all the ways together, they know each other inside out compared to other district teams, and I think that stands them as well.
Keane Gamble at wing back as well. You know, he was available when they got position. He broke the tackle and went up, and you know, as you said, like Ronan Buckley and Kieran Murphy in the middle of the field, they're two good midfielders. They have great engines, and they don't give it away, Liam, either.
And another fellow who I think has had a great champion, Patrick Darcy.
Not the goal of the last day as well, but the work rate of them. And they're really unselfish. Yeah. They don't take on from outside the zone. They pass it off to the man in the better position, and they work the opening for the score.
Exactly. Look, they're the measuring stick for everyone out there. And it goes back to their clubs as well, the work that the clubs are doing. You know, at county league level and at intermediate level and stuff like that. And it's very easy then to pick out your best players out of each club then.
Right. How well do you know your districts?
Oh, another pop quiz.
I have to keep you on your toes, to be fair. East Kerry, what they scored last day? 419?
419.
When was the last time somebody scored four goals against Cairns? Well, lads, Jesus, don't let me down tonight, please.
Jesus.
Good question.
Good question.
It is a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, no answer to me. It happened last year. What team put four goals past St. Cairns last year? You're the St. Cairns man, so I'll leave you alone. A good question, isn't it? Would I say Knocknagoshal, or would I say
the last game of the championship?
The last game of the championship last year, it was 4-10 to 1-14. Shannon Rangers won it.
Tabert.
And you were saying Shannon Rangers weren't good. they won the game. Let's go back and have a bit of fun with East Kerry. The score was massive, 419.
Yeah.
When was the last time they scored bigger than that? Can you remember? You'd imagine they do it regular enough, wouldn't you? But they actually don't. They don't score that heavy.
No.
The last time they scored that heavy, they beat Dingle with 6-15. And they beat him 2-10 in round 2A against Dingle, okay? What did Dingle do to him in the reverse fixture? God almighty, lads, don't be so silent.
Silence,
eh? The reverse fixture went to a draw, and the game was a replay. And there was a bit of argy-bargy in the whole thing. And who won the game?
East Kerry.
Dingle. Good man, John.
What was that?
That's a couple of years ago when East Kerry were just getting on the scene at the time, and they needed the push. Funny enough, the goals that were scored in the 6-15, who scored them? David Clifford got two, Darren Roach got two, Evan Cronin got one, and fair play to Noel Duggan from Kilcommon, he got one as well. When we're talking about the same players, is the point I'm making. David Clifford, they're a roach.
Yeah.
They're still performing at a huge, huge level for them, and they're carrying them through, and they're bringing new players through. Finally, for St. Cairns, will they be disappointed, or did they give it the best go? I mean, if you're looking at the book at the end of the year, they performed fairly well.
They got out of the group
this time last year. They were losing to Shannon Rangers 14 to 1-14. They're certainly moving a step forward. And the other thing a guy said to me at the start of the week as well is that all the district clubs that are going through, the amount of district clubs that have a lot of intermediate players playing at a very high level.
Yeah.
St. Kieran's only had 5 yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a third of their players. Of course, the other thing before we go about that game, what was unusual about the game yesterday, particularly the St. Kieran's, Thinking Brothers?
The Horns and good the Higgies.
Oh,
yes. Well,
and the McKelligates.
The McKelligates, yeah. The McKelligates are twins.
They're twins, that's right.
And the Horns are twins. Mm-hmm. And for one stage yesterday when, was it Cahill McKelligate came on?
Yes.
You had 4 twins on the field. Fairly amazing.
All-Ireland school winners with St. Pat's.
That's right.
There you go. Fantastic. Yeah. Now we're really flying. Right, game 3. Nigel and Mid Kerry. God almighty, this game, I suppose, threatened to be over, John, in about 10-15 minutes, I mean, at the rate Mid-Kerry were going. We've been slagging off Mid-Kerry, John, in a number of games, saying that they weren't lethal enough, they were leaving a lot of chances behind, they had a lot of wides, their play, while it was admirable, you know, they weren't finishing it, the movement wasn't great. For the first 15 minutes yesterday, they were a super team.
Yeah, well, we've said it for a bit here, like, you know, Mid-Kerry, East Kerry and Dingle, they seem to be a bit ahead of the rest. Mid-Kerry weren't firing. With the players they have, mm-hmm. we felt here, and you know, speaking to some of the Mid-Kerry people at some of the games, like, they're not firing in all cylinders, but they're still winning, and I think we got a glimpse at the weekend of what they have,
yeah. what they can do,
and what they can do is right, and I think there's more in them, and when you look at forwards like Aina Connell, Liam Carey, like, and you look at like some Mike Breen, you know, these are players that have played at the highest level, and it's only a matter of time before that will click, and I think the longer they're going on in the championship, the better they're getting.
Yeah.
They're in the semi final. You know, they'll fancy their chances because it's an upward curve.
Yeah.
And I think that they're blending well. And, you know, we gave Nigel, you know, an outside chance of, you know, having a go, and they were well beaten.
Yeah.
After a great campaign.
And of course they have to face into the relegation playoff with Rahalies, I suppose, in that. Liam, midfield is where all battles are in the old days, won or lost, maybe it's not as strong as they were. When your midfield partnership scores 6 points for you, Gavin Horne scored 3 and Sean O'Brien scored 3, front play, fantastic scores as well, not really kind of little tippy ones over the bar either. That says a lot for their intent, that they're going to be able to win a significant amount of ball going forward in midfield.
Yeah, and to win a county championship, and we've said it here, they're going to have to score. No, yeah. The team, and that's why Dingle and East Kerry are where they are at the moment. Dingle put up 20 points again the weekend. So the three teams that we think that are really the favourites, no offence to Rathmore, but these you need forward power, and them three teams have it. Mid Kerry had it yesterday for 15 minutes at the start, like you said. They'll need it for more than 15 minutes if they are going to try to win this title. Nigel probably yesterday without Tomaso Hanifin.
A big loss.
Yeah. So he had a good championship. He was showing there. He's a good, strong young fella at number 11. Was a huge loss to him. But yeah, look, Mid Kerry deserving so the plaudits. 119, good scoring. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see a bit like they need to more than 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah. No? Well, to be fair to them, the only time they kind of fell apart was Mike Breen's black card. If any time a black card was quite significant, Mike Breen goes off the field and Nigel get 1-3.
They get
a foothold, they get back into it. John, you're in the match, you're the manager, you're standing on the sideline, and when you see Gavin Horne fist the ball over the bar after 60 minutes, you're 1-8-1 point down. What goes on at that stage on the sideline with selectors? You're looking at the best team, obviously, that you put out on the field. And to be fair, I mean, at that stage, Mid-Kerry were walking over. They had a great pace to the game as well, Mid-Kerry. They kept the tempo very, very high. And of course, all the ball work was beautiful. But what goes on at the sideline at that stage?
Like, you have your best laid plans and you're ready for it. You have your matchups done. And all of a sudden, you're 8 or 9 points down. It's everything is abandoned then. You just have to dig deep, get the scores, like you said, Mike Breen getting the black, getting 1-3. That gave them a platform, because, you know, they have a kind of the critics will say, or the people that said, look, they were in relegation, to be relegated from the senior club, they've confounded their critics this year with their displays. They've played exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose beating the Crokes above in
huge result.
Killeen was a huge result. you know, they're not croaks out of the championship. And this is a tremendous, you know, they're on an upper curve.
Mm-hmm.
We have said for a bit here that getting scores has been a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Dara Carmody, one of their top scorers in America, you know, players like that. Dan Goggin has had injuries. They needed a go-to player above, you know, around the middle of the field and the backs. They have a great structure, but finding it difficult. But they hit Mid Kerry on a day when just they were on fire from the very start. It was an uphill battle then, and it was a kind of just a damage limitations after that. And you know, that lead, that was a great cushion to get, but they didn't die down.
Yeah.
They stayed working, and Tomás Hannifin was a huge loss.
Yeah.
But like, you look at that Mid Kerry team, Donald, like, they're unreal footballers when you look at the programme. And the subs they just brought on yesterday: Liam Carey, Keith Evans, Dara Cleary, Calvin Tehan, and Gerard Hassett. Like, they would probably get on any team.
Yeah.
In the county, you know, these guys. So they have the players. And when you're facing into a team, I suppose when you're in a Gael and you're looking at players like that, you know that you're going to be up against it. Yeah, and things didn't probably fall the right way for the Gael.
Mm.
And you know, you're kind of you're ploughing a lone furrow for a while then as well when they start putting scores over the bar. And but at one stage it was 1-10 to 1-5, and you thought there's a bit of light here at the end of the tunnel, but it didn't last for a whole long. Yeah. Kerry just stepped on the gears again and off they went.
Yeah, it's remarkable. With the question I was going, I mean, it was 1-8 to a point. What do you do within 12 minutes of that? You're down to 5. You're going back into the dressing room. You're only 5 points down. You have your good team talking the whole lot. But I want to add on to what Liam is saying. The subs that came off the bench, I mean, Fiacre Clifford was flying for him.
Yeah. To know, and had 3 points, yeah. And to know, I suppose, like, he's been starting a lot of games, and he came off the bench, and he was, and same with Dara Cleary. And so, like we said, they have the players, but can they gel it together on the big occasion? To beat East Kerry, they're going to have to be scoring 119, 120 and stuff like that, because East Kerry are going to put that score up. No, so that's the way I'm looking at it, that they'll have to, it's going to have to be a shootout.
Yeah.
You can't go out and you try to defend against East, and I think they did that last year in the county final a small bit. They tried to defend against East Kerry. You can do a certain amount of it, but you have to put the ball over the bar at the drain. You have to try to win the game, and they have the players that can do that. So hopefully going forward, but I think that's going to be a great semi-final between Dingle and themselves on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about
it'll have to be their best performance of the year, don't
it? It will, absolutely.
Quick word on the Gael, John. They now face into the relegation playoff. That was quite likely it was happening, but they starved it off for as long as they could. Are they going into it in a better place than Rahilly's, or the fact that Rahilly's haven't played in a while? They had that game against Spawn the whole lot, or is it just a relegation playoff that you just don't know what happens in the league?
Well, it's a relegation playoff, but I think their form and their performance in the championship, you know, we're surprised a lot of people, and I think it'll be a different game. That relegation game, form goes out the window. This is about survival. But one would have to ask the question then, when both teams, the way they've played in different games, you know, do they deserve to go down?
Yeah.
And are you improving the standard by bringing somebody else up and relegating one of these teams? That's the debate that's going on. Should there be more club teams in the championship? These are the questions that are being asked at the moment.
Well, the reality of that answer is quite simple. Rathmore came up there in the county semi-final.
That's right.
So the teams that are coming up are at the level. I mean, all the teams that have come up in recent years have survived. The Gael were one of those teams. They got to the quarterfinals. Spar came up there in the quarter. So the teams that are coming up seem to be.
We've said it here several times, the standard in all competitions, particularly intermediate and senior. Like, it's there's very little between them. And Rathmore have adjusted
and
have proved it.
And Fosse have done it for junior level, up to
that's the thing, yeah.
And despite Liam Brosnan writing Rathmore off, I still think they can win the county. We'll take a quick break.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Donal, 3 Kilconan players on the starting 15 for East Kerry. Things are hugely positive. Darragh Kelly and Chris O'Leary and Ciarán Murphy. And of course, all 3 of them played very, very well as well. Let's discuss the Dingle game first before we have a couple more comments on the structure of the championship and the whole lot. Dingle and Temple Noe, strangely enough, Temple Noe in games they've played over recent times had kind of the Indian sign on them, and they had a couple of wins against the Head, I suppose. But in reality, John, this was county championship and Dingle are a different gravy.
Dingler, we've said it all along, Liam has said they're a different Dingle team this year. I think winning the silverware in the club has really given them an extra drive. They're one of the favourites for the championship, along with East Kerry, and you know, they're ruthless. their structure is very good, the football they play, and their leaders, you know, particularly Paul Gainey and Tom O'Sullivan, you know, all the Gaineys, I suppose, you know, Conor Flannery, he was marshalling the troops inside in the backs the last day exceptionally well. You know, Billy O'Connor and Mark O'Connor on the middle of the field.
Let's talk about Billy O'Connor. If you have two men midfield, one Mark O'Connor, one Billy O'Connor, surely in no man's field you should be talking about Billy O'Connor, but the amount of ball he played, the amount of possession he won, the amount of ball he turned over.
His work rate is incredible.
Absolutely incredible.
Incredible. And their level of fitness is incredible, Donald, to be fair. You know, they're don't want to jinx them by saying it, very few injuries after tough campaigns. Yeah. But Billy is really, he's a box-to-box player. And he doesn't try anything fancy, but he's there. He's covering back in defence. He's available in the attack. And, you know, he's a vital cog in that wheel. But Paul Gainey's influences, he's playing exceptional football. He's a leader in every sense. And when things are not going well, Paul is there to be, he's the go-to man. It's easy to play well when things are going well and when you're 10 points up. Yeah. But, you know, and all the Gainey's, you know, Dylan and Connor kicked 5 points the last day again. You know, they're...
Like again, he's kicked 13 points
13
again,
points, yeah. You know. But they're kicking with confidence and they're kicking not from outside the zone. You never see a bad wide from Dingle this year. They're inside the zone, they know their area and they kick. And most of the time to the score.
Yeah, Liam Temple, to be fair to him, are a very organised outfit. I mean, they have a sprinkling of what I would say quality players, but through the team, they have this kind of, I suppose, structure or organisation and all that. They missed Adrian Spillane. I mean,
time, yeah, yeah.
That's a big ask and a big loss when you have your man in the middle of the field and he's missing. And they survived for a while. And then I suppose, much like, I suppose, Nagale, you know, they got the goal, they got back in it, but Jesus, Dingle just put on
and the burners in again and took off. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, look, when Stephen O'Sullivan hit the net, I think it was 1-7 to 9 points then at that stage.
Did, yeah.
So they were kind of asking Dingle questions, and Killian had his shooting boots on as well. He kicked two fantastic points, you know, from one off the left and one off the right. But Timpano were very competitive in the first half, but like we said, Dingle seemed to up the gears then a bit, and they have the players that can do that. I suppose Patrick Clifford's injury as well was kind of a hamper for Timpanloa, but overall Dingle were worthy winners on that.
An 8 point win, deserving?
I think so. Yeah.
John, we have the four. Rathmore probably the surprise, but I suppose the way the draw felt, it was either Rathmore's ball were going to be there. No surprises with the rest, obviously.
No.
And then the semi-final draw last night, and I suppose Rathmore had their fingers crossed to get anybody bar their neighbours possibly, and they get their neighbours.
Yeah, like the neutrals would be looking for maybe a neat Kerry Dingle final if they got it, and you know, it's a tough one for Rathmore, first of all, against East Kerry, particularly with the injuries. You know, if they had a full deck, it would be a different story. But, you know, I'm not saying they're hugely competitive. They have their system. Their defensive structure is very good, and it will need to be against East Kerry. But they don't have the strength and depth that East Kerry have. The players that have to come off the bench, it's incredible, really.
Yeah.
And they're all adding to it. They're not just coming in to make up numbers. They're adding to it. You know, Dingle Mid Kerry. This is the asset test for Midkerry. Dingle will be favourites again, and Midkerry will have to play their best game of the championship to beat them, because this is an in-form team playing with confidence and very well organised, great structure, playing good football, know how to defend, know how to hold possession, but have the scoring power as well.
Mm-hmm. Midkerry, of course, Liam, look, I mean, they're a team that we discuss as if they're just on the new kids on the block, but they aren't. Should have been in two finals in the last 3 years, again losing, I suppose, to East Kerry, which any team possibly would have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there learnings in that for them?
I think there is, yeah, without a doubt. A lot of them, like you said, a lot of them have been in the final last couple of years, so I would agree, there is learnings there. But the thing about Mid Kerry is that they'll have to bring that little bit of, I don't know, I won't say dirt, but a bit of evil, you know, that kind of way. They're lovely footballers, and we know they're very good footballers. But to beat the likes of these carriers, and even Dingle next day, they're like Dingle won't hold back from them. No, so, and they'll have to be expecting that. And I think if they get over this, I think if whoever get over this test Saturday night, we'll be well equipped to face
Rathmore in the final.
Well, you never know if Rathmore can take a bit of a leaf out of the spa book last year when East Kerry played them. They know there wasn't much between them, so you just never know. But I would fancy East Kerry on that. But I do think that the Dingle Mid Kerry game, whoever will come out of that, that will be a good test for any of our team going against whoever in the final.
John, the county championship, it's getting a bit of flack with comms coming in saying it's comfortably the worst county championship we've played in 25 years. A lot of people don't like the structure. It's not producing the best teams. The quarterfinals were a bit of a washout. No competitiveness. These are just all, I suppose, if I read the 25 of them that we have, we'd fly through them. One interesting one here, though. Seeing that all the group winners won comfortably in the quarterfinal stages, should we just stop with the quarterfinals altogether and leave the group winners play directly in the semi-finals?
Not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The four group winners were Rathmore, they're in the semi-final. Yeah. East Kerry.
Yeah.
Dingle. And Mid Kerry.
Yeah.
So,
and I suppose
really matter
out of the four teams, we could have said before the championship ever started, we definitely had three.
Yeah.
No, so I think Rathmore are really the surprise bracket.
Because obviously you can't just take a poll straw and say that's this year. But if you go back to last year when the quarterfinals were there, four teams came out as winners last year. Crokes won their group, but they got overturned by Dingle. So that kind of throws it out of the thing. But bearing in mind, Field Rangers won their group last year, and they beat Stacks in the quarterfinal, which was a big shock on the night. East Kerry obviously won their group, and Mid Kerry won their group. So technically speaking, yeah, out of the last eight group winners in 2 years, seven of the eight got to the semi-final straight away as winners. And I suppose, to be fair, Dingle overturning Crokes probably isn't a big shock on that sense,
really,
and they won fairly comfortably as well. It would give you back a week, I presume, and it probably would make, I suppose, the teams playing for first and second, probably all the way to the end maybe as well, probably wouldn't help the teams in third and fourth not knowing that they have any chance of getting into it. But it is quite an interesting one. Before we leave it there, you're two for the final, Liam.
East Kerry, Dingle.
East Kerry and Dingle. I better write it down because you keep changing it.
Can't change it.
You keep changing it.
There's only four there, so I don't change.
Back next week and have the other two. John Kennedy?
I don't agree with him too often, Donald, but I'd be going with Dingle, East Kerry again.
Just on form,
I think, the two teams.
So that'll give a bit of...
Did you get your coffee in Garvey's? Did you?
That'll give a bit of burning now for the other two teams to go at it the weekend.
Yeah, I'd love to see Mid Kerry in the final, obviously. And obviously, I'd love to see Rathmore in the final. So I'll go against you. just for pure development. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, East Kerry, of course, massive favourites. Donal, Fico Clifford, remember, of course, his father, Teddy, the late Teddy, of course, won a Segerson with UCC. Plenty of talent there, absolutely. Who does the panel think will be relegated to Intermediate Championship based on what they saw with Kieran Rahelis and the Gael? God, I'll give that one to you, Liam. You know about relegation, do you?
Just by looking at the two teams and looking at their players, I would think that Kieran Rahelis will just sneak it.
Kieran Rahelis will sneak it to survive?
Yeah. I just think they just have a little bit of firepower up front. I think they will.
I think the firepower up front, we said it earlier on, that Nigel are struggling to get scores.
And with Tomás O'Hanafín now, depending on when it's going to be played and stuff like that. Yeah.
I think they have, and Tommy Welsh is going to be vital for them inside, you know. So I think they have that little bit more up front. Just shade it.
This time last year, Rahelis were on their way to an All-Ireland semi-final, and 12 months later, with a bad result, they'll be on their way to Clowney Legion this year or somewhere like that. A man on the move, if you can believe everything you see or read in the newspapers, Peter Kane. A lot of comments on about Peter. They haven't forgot you, and you, Peter, taking charge of Tipperary. What's the panel think? Is this a good move?
It's an intercounty gig, and I suppose they're Tipperary are probably in a low A bit at the moment. They're in Division 4, aren't it?
Yeah.
So he can only make them better.
Is that going to be the soundbite for this show?
No, I think just looking at the intercounty managers out there at the moment, Donald, I think fellas are that they're in the big bite for for especially I heard in different counties that the counties struggle to get managers, you know, because there's so much pressure and there's so much time to be put into it. Like, I'm sure Peter has spent a lot of time over thinking about this because he's a businessman, his family are probably helping him out on that side of it. It's up the road, but he's like, I suppose he loves the GAA. He wants to put his head on the block again. You know, so, but fair play to him if he does.
John, there's a certain drug about it, isn't there? There's a certain I want to get back involved, and I suppose you look at it. I mean, Peter Kane has massive ability to bring to the game. I mean, like, obviously with Kerry, he was in the touch of a ball from winning a senior All-Ireland in his first year. He won three minors. He's done great jobs with St Mary's and Beaufort and every other Legion, club that's in the Legion, the whole lot, and he's brought him to different levels and the whole lot. And I suppose there's a time that you want to get back involved, and I suppose people are around that circle saying, we could do with you. But it's still a big, brave call at the end of the day to make.
It's a huge call, but look, Peter Keane is a very astute manager, and he comes from a great footballing family. In fairness to him, he's done great work in Kerry, you know, at club level as well. And there's a tremendous respect outside for Kerry people, you know, at that level. I remember when I went to Clare, like, you know, it's hard to believe when you're on the outside looking in, but when you're in the inside, the respect they have for Kerry football and for Kerry people. And I've no doubt if Peter does decide to go to Tipperary, he'll bring them to another level, because he has been at another level with Kerry. It's a good time to go into Tipperary, I think. Because, you know, I think of the four other counties in Munster at present, I think Tipperary have the most talent.
Well, they're the most recent Munster champion winners outside of Kerry, obviously, which is huge. Quick question, 1 minute, both of you can give me a yes or no answer. Playing the two semi-finals on different days over the coming weekend's disgrace. Why don't they play the two games together in Killarney, Sunday, and charge €10? You might get a decent crowd then, and the final in Tralee in 2 weeks after. Two semi-finals, Liam, two different days.
Yeah, look, I said at the start of the show, I thought double headers were the way to go, you know, for crowds and stuff like that. No, I could see no reason why they couldn't go double header this weekend.
John?
Yeah, I'd be the same.
Just be aware now that your press pass could
I'd be the same. I'd like to see the two games, because rushing from Killarney to Tralee to see last Saturday and that. But speaking to people inside, it's a long day for two games, you know, for the neutral supporter. If it's cold, it's a long day and you're coming to the stage. But look, I think for convenience, a doubleheader is the way to go.
And that's from Damien in North Kerry, all of North Kerry. Listen, guys, thanks very much again this evening. Next week, it'll be just semi-finals. God, I might well have nothing to talk about, really, to be fair. It'll be a nice, quiet weekend. And, of course, the final then in 2 weeks. Very quickly, Ballymac, Listowel, of course, are coming up in the calendar, Liam.
That's right, going to be a very interesting game. Tonight it's going to be unusual from now to switch back to club after the districts, but yeah, I think that's going to be a fairly interesting bit. I know Ballymac after a great year in Division 1 and stuff like that, but has this spell, and I think hampered teams, you know, that were kind of on a roll, and now they have to take this break and try to get back into it again. So it's going to be a fairly even match now.
Fantastic, fair play. Listen, give us a call, 0667123666, if you want to give us your views about rugby, and we'll talk about that after 7 o'clock.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, if you've been following the Rugby World Cup over the last number of weeks, you'll certainly know that my next guest, Mike Milner, he's just rushes over and back to France, and he'll be back here every Monday evening to bring us the good news. Unfortunately, Mike, he's brought more water with him anyway this week. Thank God you brought the 2 litre bottle in here, because we have a good bit to talk about this week. First of all, I suppose, look, we built up Ireland, we built up the whole thing, but we built it up based on the quality performances, the amount of games we've won. We had that magic number 17 or 18 that we were going to see, can we get one past them. Went into the game, obviously we weren't taking New Zealand for granted, we expected a tough battle, we felt that we were better than them, and everybody was writing New Zealand that for some reason because they lost to France in the first game and they weren't the same All Blacks and the whole lot. And you're in the crowd, you have your anthems, you have your flags, you have everything to go, and God, the next thing, New Zealand are what, 13-0 ahead of us?
Yeah.
What's that like when you're inside the crowd and you're saying, oh my God, this is going to get worse and worse?
Soul destroying, yeah. And to the credit now to the lads, 13-0 down, and they came back. And what was it, a point at the end in the first half that we were down by? Like, you know, I don't think we played our best rugby. I don't think that the lads were as good as I thought they were going to be. But if there was ever a game where you think that the lads are, sorry, if there was ever a game that the lads played well, but didn't play their best, so as in they gave it all but didn't play to their very best, that was the game.
Yeah, they look, to be fair to them, I mean, nobody for one second doubting the amount of commitment and effort, and even that, what was it, 35 odd phases at the end, you know, where it was just patient and you're taking on the All Blacks, and, and every one of those times you could be robbed. They just felt maybe playing at 95% rather than 100%. They just looked a drop of diesel missing from the tank.
Yeah, and look, there was maybe a bit of criticism there now, I like for Andy Farrell, they're playing the same team for every game going into this and not giving the lads a break, whereas like New Zealand were playing Uruguay the week before and had, I don't know, a third of their team playing, so they were able to rest their stars for this match, whereas we didn't. We played even the lesser games, you know, in our group stages, we still started the same
thing. We were as strong against Tonga as we were against
exactly,
the
and you know, like, look, there's an argument to be made that, you know, these lads, you know, it's the start of a rugby season, they had a good break over the summer, and that they're only 4 or 5 games in, but you know, each game, you know, in a World Cup, it takes its toll, and you could see it there in the last 5 minutes. And there could be a bit of criticism as well for not bringing on Crowley there for Sexton, a 38-year-old out half that just looked a bit tired there for that last 10 minutes. We could have done with somebody youthful in that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on. Let's get into the atmosphere first of all. I suppose the big build up, the Irish fans. That, you know, I mean, you were at the South African game, you were at the Scottish game. You're watching it week on week. I suppose there's more Irish people. A lot of them are the same going over and back, like yourself as well, possibly meeting more of them. All that in the build up before the game started against New Zealand. What was the feeling with Irish supporters? Was there a touch of intrepidation there?
It was, yeah. People were apprehensive in that. But bear in mind as well, we only were kind of hoping for New Zealand, because the other option was playing France at home instead of France. Mm-hmm. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, like, yeah, we were hoping for New Zealand, only because it was on the back of the French game where they'd played fairly poorly, you know. Mm-hmm. For me, like, I've been looking at the New Zealand matches for the last 2 or 3 years, and that's the best I've seen them play in a long, long time. Ardie Savea was probably, that was the best game I've ever seen them play. And yeah, that puts to doubt anything about him being the best player in the world. He is by far the best player in the world. Yeah. And Sam Kane as well, that was the best game he's ever played for New Zealand, hands down. And that infamous comment with Peter O'Mahony about Richie McCaw.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that came back to haunt him during that match.
Big time.
Yeah. As for the atmosphere, yeah, it was just as, it was up there with the Scottish match. It was up there with the South Africa game. They drowned out the Haka with the fields and that. You know, there was so many Irish there. Yeah. And I spoke to plenty of people that, oh, they came from all different angles. I spoke to one fella, he flew from Galway to Italy and then Italy into Paris. That was the way he flew. You know, another lad, he got the train down from Amsterdam. So, you know, we took every angle to get there, and there was at least, it was just up there with probably the South Africa game. There's probably a bit more for the Scottish game for whatever reason. But, yeah, we definitely outnumbered their fans in that.
Talk to us about the Haka. Obviously, drumming it out was fantastic, but the figure of eight.
Yeah, Anthony Foley, you know, nice touch, you know, for people that might know, Anthony Foley was the Munster manager, and he passed away there, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago now, 9 years ago, in Paris.
In Paris, which was very significant.
Yeah, it was a lovely
well.
Touch, and the last time we saw that figure eight was in Chicago, where we beat them during the Haka. Nice touch now.
Yeah. Does, like, as supporters, we're watching that, and I look, you have a tear in your eye, or you have something in your
very emotional now.
And emotional for the players. Does that affect the players too, though? It must do, obviously. I mean, particularly when they put the Munster players at the very significant ends of the eight, you know, obviously there was...
I didn't notice that now, did they?
A year ago, they did, absolutely, to kind of signify the Munster touch and the whole lot. And there wasn't exactly a whole lot of Munster players on it.
Yeah.
So obviously it was easy to put before them where they needed to be. But obviously, does that impact, you think, at the start of a game where that's with you, or is that just paper talk?
I don't think so, to be honest. I think they had this planned. I think the Munster lads knew where they were going, and that I think it was just another game for them. I wouldn't read too much into that. I don't think it affected them in their their mindset in the game at all. Like, for me, the Haka, if anything, adds an extra couple of points to every New Zealand match. Imagine every game that you go into where you can come along with your brothers in arms and whole lot and call upon them, each and every one of them, and they're all for a challenge and that. Imagine that in every game where you get psyched up.
Yeah.
Imagine having that and then the other lads waiting for it to finish. Yeah. It's worth a few points in every game. Absolutely.
There's a bit of warfare in it, of course.
Absolutely,
isn't there, of course. And of course, the other Pacific Island countries have it as well, but obviously nobody can bring it to the same level as the All Blacks and the Haka, and of course the uniforms as well. 18-17 at the break, though, you know, even the most optimistic fan would say, okay, things have swung around here.
Absolutely, and just going in at the break as well, did they have a man? Did they have a yellow card going in as well?
Yeah,
we had a few minutes into the second half that they were down to 14 men. Look, we're 13-0 down. Our lineout was malfunctioning. Our scrum was a penalty. Under pressure. Even though I would argue, like looking back at the scrum there, that the ref might want to relook at that. Now, in saying that, there was plenty of videos going around in social media and that with Andrew Porter and the dark arts of rugby that he was using in the South Africa match with his, we'll say, left elbow and that, and maybe that played a part. But re-looking at the match and that, and looking at that the ref, I don't think any of them were penalties. In fact, they should have gone our way. But we went in at half time, we were on point down, and it was all to play for the second half. And every time that we seemed to get back into it, it was a sucker punch.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go through some of the players. Obviously, we got to the end. We didn't get over the line, I suppose. The cruelest part of it, I suppose, in any form, is that people are out there now at the moment saying, yeah, sure, another quarter final, we didn't get over it, sure, they're no better than the last team. But this team is different to the last team.
Definitely. It's
a better team. I won't say they're more prepared, because every team that goes has a level of preparation. But, I mean, they were world number one based on, some people say, friendlies, but look, they're test matches. There's no such thing as a friendly at that level, and nobody's going to give you points and the whole lot. So they did go in. But is that what will make it far more disappointing, the fact that this was the best prepared we've ever had, these were the best team we ever had, we possibly had the best manager that we've ever had, and yet we're probably no better off than any of the other years?
Yeah, it was definitely disappointing, but I'm just more disappointed for the lads, because as I said, they just didn't play as well as they could have. If we play New Zealand five more games, I believe that each game that we have the better team to beat them, and I think if we play them next week, we'd beat them. We didn't play well. We lost the line out, the scrum, or the maul. Mm-hmm. Oh my god! And the breakdown. Oh my god! The breakdown. Our back row was extremely poor on the day compared to theirs, and they won the breakdown. They dominated at the breakdown.
We were very slow at it, weren't we?
Very slow. And if you think of the start of the match, they had the jitters.
Mm-hmm.
They fumbled the ball. They had a kick for touch that your man skewed at the very start.
Right,
Buanga then kicked the ball up and it barely went 5 feet. And that came. Then there was a knock on where they had a scrum, which then led to the penalty. So like, there was definitely nerves on their side as well. It's just that they dealt better with those nerves and those inches. And you know, the way Farrell put it, I thought it was very apt. It was only a bounce of a ball at the end of the day that that kick to the wing to Sheehan and it bounced over his head.
Yeah.
You know, if that bounced into his chest like it did for that chip for Bowden Barrett that opened everything up for them.
Were you surprised it was Sheehan that was out there?
He
has done it before.
He's done it before because he is extremely quick. He's extremely quick. And if you... So where we were for the match, so we would have been close to the 10-yard line into the post that we were playing into for the second half, we'll say. And I was looking down when we were camped in their 5-metre line, and there was Sheehan in the corner on the right-hand side waiting for and shouting and roaring for somebody to kick it over to him. He was there at every opportunity that we had the ball close to their try line. He was there on the wing. For whatever reason, they had him there for a reason.
You weren't surprised to see Peter O'Mahony there a couple of minutes later.
Yeah, of all the people. Now, in fairness, he had the height, just not the elegance.
It was nearly intercepted.
Yeah.
and then we'd be crying. Come here. I suppose, look, to be fair, we're not pointing fingers at players and the whole lot, but obviously in the aftermath, a lot of people asking questions about various players and the whole lot. Johnny Sexton, obviously, comment coming in from Paul there. Should he have been taken off, basically, after 55 minutes? I mean, like I said, he was 38. Now, the other thing about it is that, look, he survived the 80 minutes, he had 76 passes. He was very much involved in the game, but there's there come a time that just being involved isn't enough, that you must have an impact.
Yeah, so I rewatched that entire 5.5 minutes. Actually, just a little stat for you as well. The longest period that any football or any rugby team had with the possession of the ball in attack was 2 minutes and 20 seconds in the World Cup so far, and then we had it for 5 minutes 38 going into the phases.
Wow.
So that'll tell you, you know, the lads were zapped. But I rewatched that entire 5.5 minutes, and looking at Johnny, all he was doing was being a receiver. He didn't pull any strings, or you know, there was nothing. He didn't do that little wrap around or anything like that that he's, you know, notorious for. None of that. He was just receiving the ball and passing it on each time. And we really needed him to. Well, I was hoping that he'd pull something.
You needed the break. You needed the yard forward.
Yeah.
You needed to step forward.
And I was disappointed as well with he missed a straightforward kick, and I
for the penalty. Yeah.
He's the best player that we've ever had. Don't get me wrong. Now, like, I don't want to be, you know, so negative on Johnny and that, but when he missed that kick, he got possession of the ball then maybe 4 or 5 minutes later, and then he came along and he kicked it back, you know, Gary Horner,
the one that he chipped over and there was nothing
straight
there
into their hands, yeah. And we were like, oh, Johnny knows,
yeah.
He's rocked here, you know, and yeah.
Well,
very unlike him.
Like, I suppose the pressure, I mean,
he's only human.
Mac Hansen, he didn't look himself.
No, went off at half time in that. Now the only thing I would say is that Jimmy O'Brien, who came on,
he was all over the place, wasn't he?
Unbelievable.
Tell us a little bit about him.
They call him, what is it, the Swiss Army knife up in Leinster, because he covers so many positions.
Wow.
Yeah, he's so versatile. It was his first game for us. I didn't think he was going to get a call. He was very lucky, actually, to get a call up, because I think if Keith Earls was fit, Keith would have been on the bench. But when he came on, he was magnificent. Mm. And he's the reason that we actually got down to their 5 metre line in the end.
Yeah.
Because he was the one that came along and pulled the ball out of the sky
and he galloped away at a massive pace.
Yeah.
So something for the future. You mentioned Keith Earls, we'll mention before we finish up.
Yeah.
Retirement. It was always going to be retiring, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Sad, like he's been colossal. Hopefully now we'll get another year out of him down in Munster.
He's plenty
still to give. Himself, Johnny, and Peter O'Mahony's got a decision to make as well.
Yeah, he's 101 caps. I mean,
yeah.
I presume the road is nearly ran at this stage, yeah. Is it?
Actually, he's 102. He's got one for the Lions as well, one test match for the Lions where he captained, you know, which is, you know, something to be said. He's captained every team that he's been on, you know, which is, you know, just tells you what kind of a leader he is, you know.
The final whistle goes, we didn't get over the line, 37. I suppose phases of play, which are remarkable. What's the feeling in the stadium at that stage? I mean, is there appreciation for the players? Is there a bit of, I suppose, anger or angst, or people saying, God, I travelled all the way over here and this is the way it is, or are Irish people just like Irish people?
Well, for me, there was anger with Wayne Barnes just at that last segment where he blew it up and gave a penalty to them, where there was no clear release at all, and I was, or there's no release, he's holding on to him here, and of course he gave it the other way, and that was that. But then, you know, there was sadness, and you know, I was nearly in tears looking at Bundy that on the ground. You could see how much it meant to him. He was just devastated. And you know, these lads owe us nothing. You know, we've been on some trip with them for the last 2 years, Grand Slam, Six Nations. Like, if I was to come along and say to you a year ago that we were going to, in one rugby calendar, we're going to be Six Nations champions and we're going to go down to New Zealand and we're going to beat them 2-1 in their own home ground, like, you go, you're away with the fairies, go away. Like, so, like, they have, you know, they've really, we owe them nothing. They deserve every bit of credit for what they've done for us. You know, they're going to take some time now. The URC starts next week. They probably won't see them for about a month or so.
They
deserve their rest with their family.
And despite everything you told us, England are in the semi-final.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Everybody else has gone home. France gone as well.
There's no rules. So yeah, the two favourites now to get to the final in South Africa and New Zealand, both of them have lost in the group stages.
Yeah.
To France and Ireland, and there they are. They're probably going to be dogging it out for
one of them will be the World Cup champions.
World Cup. It's crazy.
Who would you like to see win it?
Well, I think South Africa will win it. I told the lads yesterday that I thought South Africa were going to beat France, and you know, that was a cracker of a game as well. Like, we've been so lucky with some of the matches, even the lesser games, they were exciting, to be fair. Absolutely. You know, the Portugal game, yeah. You know, do you see the homecoming that the Portuguese had?
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, how much it means to them and their fans. You know, that's what rugby's about. Yeah. You know, at the end.
And yet people will take to Twitter and say, oh, they shouldn't be here because they lost by 80 points or they lost by 60 points or the whole lot. But these are the countries that are growing rugby across the world, and here in 20 years' time. 4 years' time, we'll book you in, Mike.
Australia, four years' time. Well, so it's...
You'll never get over in Beck in a weekend there, will you?
Oh, no. The wife will have me. But no, so we've Australia, 2 years' time for the Lions then, and 2 years after that, it's Australia again. And then 4 years after that...
Australia have no team.
Yeah. Well, you wonder. 4 years after that, then it's the States. The States is the one I'd be probably looking forward to the most. Well, listen, never been, yeah.
You're a great supporter. Come up after the break, I have more great supporters, of course, and we'll go back to Kerry G for these men and women that travel all around Ireland supporting the Kerry team. But listen, Mike, thanks very much.
No, thanks for having me.
We will be in contact again, and we didn't drink too much water tonight. Oh,
to be continued.
To be continued. We'll take a break.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
We're the County Kerry Supporters Club. With the crack on a bus or in any pub, we'll be back with Sam with any luck. We're the County Kerry Supporters Club. Sunday morning and off we go. Sunshine, rain, and I'll be free. We can play at the Holy Tree in Machir. We're the County Kerry Supporters Club.
Well, there you go, County Kerry Supporters Club. And of course, anybody who's been on that bus, I suppose that song has been sung to this, joined by Donny O'Leary, is it?
That is correct.
Yeah, very serious Donny O'Leary. I was told the address was Donal O'Leary. But
well, Donal is my name as well.
And John King, of course, both of you joining us. And of course, you have a big night coming up very shortly. We'll talk about it as well. And we might just chat about maybe the Supporters Club and the whole lot of it. But before we start, I suppose, it's a sad night as well, Donny. I mean, obviously, with a big Supporters Club, people come and go, and we lose some great characters as well. Dennis Carroll sadly passed.
Yeah, Dennis was buried today. And we'd like to send our sympathies and condolences to his two daughters, Nora and Mary. And Dennis was definitely one of our best supporters. Never missed a match, never missed a social, always enjoyed himself and was always out for the crack. And anything that was going on, Dennis was always there and he was always with us.
Yeah,
and a great supporter.
Yeah, he'll be with us all the time, don't you worry. I'm sure he'll be on the bus travelling with us. Hi Donal, just want to mention the passing of Dennis Carroll of Eglish, Ballyhar. Great Kerry J supporter who was buried today, a member of the Kerry Supporters Club. He travelled the country following Kerry with his friend Mike Allen. Good evening to you, Mike, as well, and to his family. Sincere sympathies, and may the solid rest lightly on his gentle soul. And that of course is from Ger Connor, and thanks again. Fair play to Ger, and thanks for that. Very important as well. Donny, big night coming up.
Could I mention one other? My own friend and Rathmore man, Daniel Vincent O'Connor, he was buried there maybe 2 months ago.
That's right, in August,
and we'd like to send our sympathy to Daniel Vincent, who Daniel Vincent had been a lifelong supporter with us. Socials, away trips, anywhere it was on, Dan was always there and a great man to support Kerry, and we'd like to send our sympathy to his wife and his family.
Yeah.
And we miss Dennis and Dan very, very, very much altogether, because they were guaranteed tickets for the social and you're number one and they were guaranteed 2 seats in the bus, so our sympathy go to the two families.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I suppose, though, in many ways we're talking about supporters and going to matches and the whole lot, but it's a life of friendships as well, isn't it? I mean, from people from different parts of the county that you probably wouldn't have met that often, but something in common, going to matches and the whole lot. And I suppose over the years, I mean, people become great friends.
Sure, tis our friends, that's what tis about. I mean, we have met people from North Kerry, South Kerry, everywhere. We'd never have met them only for the supporters, though. You'd never meet them. Like, up the north now, we have 2 buses up, we have 100 people. Like, They'd be pilot, those people you wouldn't have met before until you met him above that night and the following day on the bus. We made great friends down through the years, like with everyone, you know. I think it was one of the best things that was ever formed in Kerry when Sean Kelly formed it. Brilliant altogether, so that's the way it is. That's the way we feel about it. We're all great friends and we're all great supporters.
And it brought John King.
We even had a few love stories beginning the on the away trips.
Not with referees in you, from what I heard anyway. John King, you're very welcome to the to the show this evening. You didn't have to travel as far, did you?
No, I'm on the outer road.
So you just rambled in at your ease. John, the importance of a social, the importance of meeting up once a year, the importance of, I suppose, recognising important parts and players and different speech makers and the whole lot. It's key to the year as well.
It is, of course, yeah. And like, we're going over 30 years now, and the social was always a big thing at the end of the year. This year we have a bit of a problem, like, in that we were coming in at the end of January and then the league was starting straight away. Mm-hmm. So we said we'd try and make a change this year and bring it forward a bit so that we didn't have it after Christmas and before the league beginning again.
And to be fair, it's next weekend, isn't it?
The 29th.
It's not a bad date for it, because you're avoiding all that Christmas rush where people are involved in other things. It's like you said, the split season is catching, you know, with players and the whole lot. And it's not that long after the matches were played either, so things are quite fresh. So I think it's a very good date.
Hopefully we'll get a good response now, for that's the idea.
If you're listening from any part of Kerry there to see, then guys, make sure you turn up at the supporters club. Come here, Johnny, at the beginning, you mentioned Sean Kelly. I mean, obviously, I suppose there was no... What was the genesis of it? What was the idea of it? What was it for?
There were supporters clubs out there. Tipperary had a big one. Dublin had a big one. And I suppose Sean Kelly wanted to get something on board, and he formed a committee. There were six of us, I think, on the original committee, and our job was to get supporters. We were not a finance committee. We had nothing at all high up or low down to do with the finance committee. We were to arrange transport to matches, socials, anything at all with Kerry football and hurling. We were to look after that, but not a finance committee. We were never a finance committee. And he formed Jerry O'Leary. Lord of Mercy was our first chairman. And there were six of us going, and it took us 2 years to get it off the ground. And Jerry always said, when twill get off the ground, twill be right, and we won't rush it.
Yeah.
And now, in all fairness to him, he did make a great job with.
Yeah. What was the first away trip?
First away trip was Donegal.
Okay.
The first away trip, I remember it well, up to Donegal, and we had one bus. That was the very first, and we stayed above in Ballybofey, above in what's his name's place?
McEniff's.
One of McEniff's hotels. And the next time we were up there, we stayed there again, and there was a wedding on, and we got pushed downstairs into a small little room and a small little bar, and that finished our dealings with McEniff in Ballybofey. And the next place we landed was in Ballysharran, and Gardner Man won't shift us out of Ballysharran. It is the greatest place of all times for the Kerry supporters club. We're looked after by like royalty up there.
Of course, the woman of the house is a stall woman.
Mary.
And Mary's deck.
The red carpet out, two buses ready outside the front of the hotel, and looked after like royalty. So that's our trips to Donegal.
Donegal's a keeper anyway.
So that was it.
John, I suppose, look, the other side of the coin, we touched on it earlier, there's people from every part of the county going on it, availing of it, the whole lot, and of course, I won't say it's repeat business, but I suppose once you go on the first trip, Donny, you're sold, and you're on the second one, and off you go. The importance of it socially, though, John, I mean, I suppose in many senses, it's taking people on a trip that they wouldn't go by themselves. You're providing the bus for them. And in many ways, they're meeting up with people that they wouldn't meet or wouldn't get to meet probably around the kingdom unless they were going to a football match. I mean, there's a big social aspect to it and a community aspect to it too, I suppose.
Well, there is, of course. I mean, you have people coming from South Kerry down to Village Island, up into my van, the stall, even into Talbot, and they've all got to be great friends. And when we started, first of all, we had huge numbers in North Kerry. But I suppose over the years, you had people dying off and things like that, so we have dropped a bit there, but we have come up then in other areas around. The other thing was, when we started off, you didn't have that many private companies. Coach travel has become very popular now, and it's quite easy to get up and down with the roadwork network and system. And likewise, one time it was taking you 5 hours to get to Dublin. Now you're doing it in about 3. But our people have remained loyal to us. We have got older people who dropped off. We've got younger people who've stepped up and come in. And we have a nice mix of people, you know, that like to travel, like to enjoy the trip, and everything is arranged with food in the mornings and evening meal coming back, and you know, there's no rush. If they want to sing a song or have a bit of entertainment, they can. And then the other thing is, of course, when we have overnights, we'd have a lot of people that would travel from maybe Dublin or from Cork that would come by car, but they'd book in through us, and we'd have a good group session for the evening's entertainment dinner.
Fair play. And of course, Tony, it is football you're going to see, so obviously there's good chat coming back on the buses there.
Well, that's where it all starts, coming back, especially if we're after being beaten.
Do you start with the referee or the manager first?
Well, it starts in the bus, and the shouting starts from one to the back to the front, and from the front to the back, and this one done that, and some other one done something else, and the ref was a Mickey Mouse, and it took last for about an hour. And then to die down, we'd hit the putty in still.
Oh, yes.
And we'd have a feed there and a bit of grub and maybe a pint or whatever we wanted. And 'twas into the bus then, and the sing song had started, and 'twas all forgotten about it. And we'd be singing maybe down as far as Newcastle West or somewhere, and that was it. We were home then. And the crack would be mighty in the bus, I tell you, especially if we were beaten or not.
Absolutely. And of course, John, I suppose the other thing about it is that you're supporting Kerry football for so long. There's players that are young players that become old players that become retired players, and there's new players coming in, and it's still the same jersey obviously you're supporting. But over that length of time, there's a great kind of I'd imagine love for the jersey and love for the support and love for the football, and a great appreciation for footballers too.
Yeah, it's great to see the youngsters coming with their parents. Like, we had David Clifford on the bus, and Joe O'Connor have travelled on the bus. And when they get teenaged and when they get a bit independent, they make their own way. Like, but they started off with the supporters, and they'll always acknowledge that when they meet us. You know, we did travel with she on the bus.
Oh my God. How was it like having young David Clifford on the bus?
Yeah, they were very quiet lads. But of course, David's mum was a member of the supporters club at the very start.
She was on the committee.
At the very early days, she was on the committee, yeah.
Very good. And of course, the old fellow from South Kerry, I suppose he knew some bit about football, did he?
Dermot.
Yeah.
Dermot is a great character. Nice man, Dermot.
And he's travelled 2 years
ago. Have the crack and enjoy every bit of it.
Yeah.
We have a couple of lovely photos of himself and Mick Allen, and Dennis Carroll is in the one with him. Well, remember that photo with him?
There was Paddy Towns from Village.
Paddy Towns from Village.
Oh, absolutely. Hello, Paddy Towns, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, a good supporter, actually.
Oh, great.
Always was. Fair play to
him.
Come here. Another thing, of course, I mean, supporters' buses, and they're hugely appreciated. The managers jumping on the bus and all that kind of stuff, do the supporters get close to the players? Obviously, you go to an away game, you're in early, you take your seats, you're well spotted, you're well seen. Has it got more difficult over the years? Are players, I suppose, more isolated from their supporters, or do you still get an old wave? Or I see. We were talking about poor old Peter Kane earlier, and I remember Peter Kane jumping on the bus very early in the campaign and saying,
"Yeah,
thanks very much for arriving up and
down."
How important is that? That's a nice touch, isn't it?
It is very important. They think of that, the supporters think of that. Peter Keane came on the bus now, Jack came on it, Eamon Fitzmaurice came on it, you know, they come on the two buses and they thank the people, and that's highly appreciated by the supporters. I know we don't meet the players maybe or anything like that, but from once the manager comes on and thanks the people for travelling, we appreciate that.
It's a small touch, isn't it?
It's only a small touch, but
it's appreciated.
It's highly appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, Donny, let's go back. Your love for football, where did that start? Were you out the back shed in Rathmore kicking high balls?
I don't know where it started, but all my families, both sides, the Dineen family and the O'Leary families, they were all involved in football, all played with Rathmore. And my uncle, Dinis Dineen, played with Genevieve Gullen, played with... God. The Forge Crosses, they call it, on the road between Rathmore and Guineagula. The O'Leary's played with Rathmore. And I'm following football all my life. And I'd follow anything. And I like the rugby and a few dogs and football. But my first love was football.
Yeah.
And
growing up as a small fella, I mean, you mentioned Guineagula and Rathmore and all that. I mean, football, there probably wasn't football played every night of the week. But you probably remember the games that were played.
I do. I remember... That was, we'd go up to the lawn. That was the feeling right more. We go, I'd say we nearly went up every night the week. But I remember a young fella under 13, under 14. There was a great under 14 team in Rathmore, but we had Guineagula players, a few from Knocknagree, Rathmore. And I remember they beat the Monastery in the final one night. And Jesus, that was the biggest thing of all times that time. But,
God, wish he wouldn't let you on the show if you told him that, you know.
No, that's rule at home.
Wish he being a man by, you know, and a card-carrying member of the season.
We beat them on in the final, and that was celebrated for ages. But they're still a fort of that team, going doing the rounds there. And so that was the start of the under-14s, and then up along to under-16, the minors. And the senior football ended in, but... I say I only went as far as the minors. I never made it any further than there. But
you were more of a social player. John, yourself, your own love of football, growing up in Tralee, I presume, was it?
Yeah, in Tralee. We were very young. We went back to Churchill and played a bit of ball there. And then we were told we were going outside the palace, so we went into the stacks and we played a bit of football there.
You were brought back again, fast, were you?
Up to minors again, but after that, we never had the legs for it, I'm afraid.
Yeah. What was it like? I mean, who were the big names at the time? Who was, when John King was young and looking up at the big senior players of the Kerry team, who were the stars that time?
Well, I suppose we'll be going back along to Johnny Sullivan, Mick O'Connell, Mick O'Dwyer. My first All-Ireland going to was in 68, which was a bad start. And I'd say I've missed probably a few since that time. But then you had, of course, all the Stack Spice came on. Then in the 70s you had great club games to follow then as well. I mean, the club championships game going up to Nemo and the Bears and they're coming on, even up to Thomond.
And of course, that's extraordinary because obviously we're talking about the Kerry supporters, but obviously the club is a vital part of that as well. People support their clubs and they travel those journeys. Your journey to Croke Park probably with Rathmore last year as well. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, travelled up, of course. Yeah, that was a great day altogether. Great day. And it is great for the club to even to reach in all Ireland now, and to win it then is way better still. I mean, that's still being celebrated around the place, but. No, that has to be part of the stage and concentrate the county championship. But Rathmore were always a great club. All up along the line, they were always up with the best of them, or we thought we were in there. But I was secretary of Rathmore for years, and up along, there was always good teams in Rathmore. But I suppose they tell you, no, this was the best team we had, but I don't know whether it was or it wasn't, but... We'll go back to Conny de Harty's time and Mickey Denny's time. They won the first Dun Hook Cup. And I think that's being celebrated. I heard recently there's a mass for the remaining people. There's a few left out of that team that won the first Dunghill Cup, and is being there's a mass being celebrated, I think, for the remaining people that were on it.
Absolutely.
I was in 60-something, I forget what year it was, but...
It's a long time ago, the first one.
A long time ago.
You won a couple more since, of course.
Oh, we did. We won a few of them since, but... We could win another one this year if we got a fair athlete.
If you've got any players left after the coming championship, stay with us, boys, and we'll take a quick break, and afterwards we'll discuss more about the social.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, hi, Donal. Just want to thank Donny O'Leary, Martin Lean and John King for all the hard work they put into the Kerry Supporters Club. And that's from a supporter who travels on the bus, obviously securing their ticket, and hopefully they're going to buy a ticket for the social, Donny. Tell us about the social.
Well, this is our 35th. This is our 35th consecutive social. The only years we missed were the COVID years. All held in Ballygarry House, Hotel and Spa. And we had great crowds up along the line until the last couple of years. Things haven't been great. We had Sam last year, and we had the best. We had David Clifford, and we had Shawnee Shea, and we had Joe O'Connor. Three of the top men in Ireland, and we'd only a very, very fair crowd there. So we had a big meeting about it, and we only barely got it through. Two votes that to be disbanded altogether. So we're making an appeal this year, and if we haven't a crowd there this year, I'm afraid that's the end of the Kerry Supporters Club social. So we're making an appeal this year to all the people that we have transported up and down the country with years to come and support us this year, because if we don't get support this year, I'm afraid that is it. Mm-hmm. We have the same menu as we had last year. We have Evrin as the band, and it's on the bank holiday weekend, Sunday night the 29th. Hopefully that Sunday night suits everybody. So I'm making this appeal, and John is making the same appeal to everybody that's a member of the supporters club to come out and support this social.
Mm-hmm. This ticket is more important than an All-Ireland ticket.
This
now,
is more important than an All-Ireland ticket. And I'll say another thing. We have looked after people that travels on the bus with us with All-Ireland tickets as best we could. Now we're making an appeal to those people too that got All-Ireland tickets to come out now and support the social. That's the last hurrah now. If this one isn't a success, well, I don't know where we're going after that.
John, it's kind of disappointing in a sense. I suppose you have to plead in a sense to get people to go to a social. But I mean, I suppose there are the times that we're in. But obviously, if you go back 30 years and all the people that came, if only 10% of those came, you'd fill the place out twice. So you know, and like I said, it's Sunday. I think it's a great day. I think it's a really good day. It's away from January. It's away from the bad weather. Other people have other things going on around Christmas time. And as I said, it's a nice part of the year.
Yeah, no matter what time you put a social on, you're going to clash with something or other. That's guaranteed. But hopefully this year now we'll get a good response. We have a great guest in Johnny Cullis here. I think all Kerry people, young and old, will remember Johnny. He played 44 senior football championship games for Kerry. Over 16 years, he played 9 All-Ireland finals, winning 5. And when you look at Johnny Cullis, he was there in the 66s when Galway were very strong. Mm-hmm. And then Down were very strong around that period as well. So, like, they weren't winning that regular, but I mean, he's a fair record. He got an All Ireland minor final in 54. He won a junior final in 54 with Kerry. Won an All Ireland junior hurling medal in 61 with Kerry. I mean, he played 6 National League and won 5 of them. That was as a player. He played in 16 months of finals, 8 in a row, winning 12, which is very spectacular. Like, people don't remember Johnny for doing all them things. He was in three Weber Cup finals, which they didn't win. He played in six County Football Championships final, and he won four. He played in three County Hurling Championships final, and he won one. He managed Kerry senior footballers from 72 to 73, and he won three National League titles. He was a selector with Jack O'Connor from 2004 to 2006, and they won two All-Irelands and two National Leagues. He was corner forward in 1955, and in goals from 59, 62, 69 and 70. He captained Kerry in 69 to that 21st All-Ireland. He also won a county hurling and football medal in 1969, so that was some year for him. He played in goal for Kerry Minors when he was only 14 years, and he won three in a row minor hurling championships with Killarney from 1950 to 52. Mm-hmm.
And he's given loads of Kerry people all down the years plenty of reason to celebrate and cheer and good memories and good moments, and surely people can come out and applaud the man for this
awesome. He's kind of an unsung hero, like when you go back and check his record. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And like he was into other sports as well, in basketball and
it's amazing, absolutely. And of course, he is Finan Mac, is it?
John has
Well, Finan, he's
another
on the Kerry senior hurler since 2019. He was a Ryan Cup with MTU Kerry in 2022. He won consecutive minor hurling B championships. He was captain in 2014. He was in the 2016 minor panel in football and hurling. He won the All-Ireland Puck Fodder Champion in 2023 this year. He has played All-Ireland under 21 Shinty in 2019 and 2020, and he's currently on the senior Shinty team this year.
And the most remarkable thing about him is that the year that he played for the colleges, he actually won an All-Star for the hurlers,
Skibbin Cup and Sigerson
and for
team.
Footballers, and that's what going out to think that
fair going.
And being a Kerry man and to manage that, which was absolutely fantastic. And he's a great lad as well, actually, Finan.
And of course, he's also won three Joe Milton All-Stars with Kerry, which is
mounting him up. Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, thanks very much. How much are the tickets? Somebody says, how much are the tickets? God, I'm with you.
€50, no change in the tickets.
Fair play. And you like the county board? No, card only, is it?
No. Cash at the gate.
As you mentioned the county board, maybe they would take a table.
You never know, absolutely. We send a plea out to Tom Kane there tonight to take a table.
We have supported him. We gave him $10,000 last year. We gave him $5,000 this year. So
he'll surely give you a couple of grand back.
They'll surely come up with a table for us.
Do you hear that, Tom Kane? If you're out there listening tonight, you surely have a few tickets there. Listen, guys, thanks very much, and thanks for
making an appeal to the Legion and
Oh, yeah, we were hoping that Legion and Artfert might come out this year and support, because Finan has been holding in football with Artfert, so they might come out.
Bring a couple of minibuses.
Joe Wallace might round up a few there for us.
Sure, Joe Wallace, surely get a good seat. If Tom Kane buys a ticket, Joe Wallace will go, will he? If you're out there tonight, Joe, round up a good 25 fillers there from Artfert. You don't have far to travel, and the same over as well with Legion. Before we go, guys, some guy says, please play a bit of that song again, because I don't know what you've done tonight, but you've certainly made the song popular anyway. Mm-hmm. And we'll play a bit of a minute of it.
We're the County Kerry Supporters Club. With the crack on a bus or in any pub, we'll be back with Sam with any luck. We're the County Kerry Supporters Club. Sunday morning and off we go. The County Kerry Supporters Club. With a crack on a bus or in any pub, we'll be back with Sam with any luck. For the County Kerry Supporters Club. Do me bar a father club or a pint of Seamus Darby's pub.
Tour of
So there you go, the Kerry Supporters Club, and that's the song, of course. And as I said, we're running into injury time here. My thanks to John King and Donal Leary. Give you a full title there, Donal. Donal O'Leary. Whose uncle's played with Ginny Gwilla.
Better known as Jinx.
Jinx. Okay, well, we won't jinx it tonight in here. And you never know, maybe Mary Conroy might play the rest of that song on her brilliant music show. You never know. She's up next, of course. A big thanks to Ivan for digging the song out this evening, and Keane back on sound. Thanks to Liam and John as well. Fantastic to have him on. And next week we're going to talk hurling for the first hour, and we have Casey Driscoll on from 7:30 as well. Fantastic story with Casey Driscoll, big night down there in South Kerry as well, and we'll talk that. And of course we'll talk about the semi-finals. We'll do it all again next week. Where the County Kerry